Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true.
Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen.
Here inside,
lead singer of the Platters.
Cannot be denied.
Doesn't get any better than that, right, Joanna?
Beautiful voice.
Joanna Brandy, ladies and gentlemen, is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's one of the world's experts on taking care of customers. She's the author of a number of books, including Winning at Customer Retention. She's our good friend, Joanna. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for the invitation.
You don't remember the Platters. I know you're too young.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do.
But boy, howdy, what a voice.
What a fabulous voice, huh?
Those guys are so good. What's going on in the world of taking care of our customers and loving up our customers, Joanna?
What's going on? I don't know. You're out there. Are you feeling loved?
Well, not so much sometimes.
You know what I've been working on? I'm working on a keynote address that I'm doing in June for the Customer Care Forum on creativity. And I must tell you, I have had so much fun. It has been a while since I, jumped into a project and felt this much, joy in doing it, because it just really delving into the whole process of creativity was great. When I started my business, I spent a week at the Monroe Brain Institute learning about applied creativity. And this was a good opportunity for me to revisit all that, because, when you look at service, when you look at manufactured products and things like that, you get an idea of how you might, be creative by combining two things, by making it bigger, by making it smaller. But I don't think we've done a great job of applying that to service innovation.
See, I wonder, I think there are probably some people scratching their heads right now and saying, wait a minute, customer service and creativity, what do those two things have to do with each other?
Well, you know what, they have a lot to do with each other, because creativity is about problem solving. And what does a customer want but to come with you, to come to you with a problem and have you solve it for them? Customers, I don't think customers are interested anymore in having you say, well, I don't know, let me go get the manager and let him figure it out.
Right.
I just don't think people are interested in that.
Or just a minute, let's see now. You just said X, Y, Z. That's B subset 7 of the rule book here. Okay, here, this is what I'm supposed to give you. I hope you like it.
Exactly. I think in the service arena, what customers would really love if people were more innovative, more creative, more able to spark ideas about how do we solve the customer's problem, or how do we anticipate the customer's problem. Let me give you a quick example. I was speaking for a group of CEOs of small companies down in the Miami area, and since that's about 2 hours from where I live, and there's generally real traffic in the morning, the guy that hired me put me up in a hotel the night before because he wanted to get me there very early in the morning. So I stayed in a Hampton Inn, and he said, when I asked him, I said, what time will you be picking me up? He said, I'll be picking you up at 6:30. Well, I just kind of, I'm not an early riser. So I was like, okay, figuring in my own mind, okay, well, I better find a way to get some coffee and get some food in me before I go and meet these people. And they have the buffet downstairs the way the Hampton Inn does. And I called downstairs. They said it started at 6:30. I said, great, I can probably grab something. But when I went to check out to the hotel, right there at the counter was a paper bag. And in the paper bag, it had an apple, a muffin, a bottle of water, and a cereal bar, a couple of other little things, very nicely packaged, just a brown paper bag with a little sticker on it that said, on the go. And when I went to check out of the hotel to get my receipt, the person behind the counter said to me, did you have breakfast yet? And I said, well, I was going to just zip over and get some coffee. And he handed me one of these bags.
Wow.
He said, we have this for people like you who don't have time to sit down and have breakfast. Now, to me, that's a great example of service innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may have noticed, and it was probably some hotel clerk that noticed, that several people checked out before the breakfast bar was open.
Right.
And that's, I think that's the kind of thinking that I'd love to see people use.
Think about what that's going to do the next time you have a choice of where to go.
Absolutely. Hampton Inns is at the top of my list. So
right.
And it happened to be a very nice Hampton Inn. It also happened to be, which was interesting, I noticed in the elevator and on the walls, it happened to be one of the Hampton Inns that was selected as one of the very best.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, what is one of the very best is a place where the employees come up with ideas to make the customer's life easier, more pleasant, more delightful, any of the above. You know, so how do we get people to feel free enough? And I think that's the issue. As I delved into this a little bit more, I began to realize that all the stuff that I teach about trust and all the stuff that I teach about creating culture is really all about this. How do we create a safe environment so when people have an idea, they're able to speak it out loud without the fear of it being squashed?
Well, two things. Number one, that they feel empowered enough to take the measures necessary to make the customer happy. But number two, that they're not the only people in the organization to do it. I mean, if you've got somebody who's doing something innovative, we need to migrate that. We need to populate that around the company, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to get everybody thinking that way. Otherwise, you're going to have the idea killers. Because an idea, and I read this statistic yesterday that was wild, something like an idea that emerges in a company is generally killed in less than a minute. You know, somebody says, oh, we tried that last year. Or, yeah, I've been dealing with a new client who was called into a company specifically because of his new ideas. He was brought in as a chief marketing officer, and he's got lots of experience in customer loyalty, and he's got lots of ideas about what has to be done. And I had a talk with him last week. We're trying to take our work together to the next stage. And I said, well, did you try this, and did you try this? And he said, you know what? I've tried about everything that I know, but as soon as I open my mouth with a new idea, you know what they say to me? They say to me, we tried that before.
Mm-hmm.
And given what I see is going on in the company, I know they didn't really try it. They may have thought about trying it.
Well, even so, sometimes things happen today, and it's not the right time,
it's
but
not
in a
the
year,
right time.
Maybe it works perfectly.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's really, how do we create that environment? And I will tell you, in the small company environment, because I am an entrepreneur, so we tend to think that we have great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we may not be as open to the ideas of others. And it's not that I would say to someone who works for me, that's a bad idea.
Right.
But I'm sure I do it in other ways.
And I want you to talk to us about what that might look like when we come
okay.
back after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm sorry, it's not 20 till. I'm on the wrong side of the clock. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm going to learn to tell time while we're gone. Stay with us.
Give you my dog surprise.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Robert Cray in the background there. Joanna Brandy is our guest. She is one of the world's experts on customer care. Joanna, give us your website, please.
It's www.customercarecoach.com.
And what do we find when we get there?
Well, you find a little bit of information about my Customer Care Coach program, which is a weekly self-study program on managing, on leading, on taking care of your customers.
All right. And they can subscribe there, can't they?
Yeah. It's an interesting program.
How long ago is that? How long is that program? 7 weeks?
And that program is 40 weeks.
40 weeks. Okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. We think of it as a transformation program. The people that are using it are finding out that because, and here, you know, when you think about it, it's like any other practice, Jim. You know, if you really want to transform your golf game, or you really want to transform your yoga practice, or
right.
you want to learn, if you want to learn anything better, it's best done on a weekly basis. So we've taken a lot of different learning theories, including that of spaced repetition, and we've taken a lesson from the marketing field, where people do drip marketing, and it's a little bit of training every week that the manager or the business owner in a small business uses to learn a little bit more and then teach his or her team.
And they can subscribe and they can start right away?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Right. It arrives the same. You get to pick the day of the week you want it. So if you want Friday to be your training day, you get it every Friday morning. Mm-hmm. So what we're attempting to do here, and it's for the people that are using it, it's working magnificently, is to get people in the habit, the good habit of spending a little bit of time learning something new each week about how to better manage their business and take care of their employees and customers. And it's really, in the, like I said, you know, the people that have embraced it, and it's like any other thing, you know, what you get out of it, what you put into it.
CustomerCareCoach.com, right?
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Joanna.
We were talking about creativity and idea killers.
But you were saying that you think maybe subconscious, maybe without realizing, I should say, without realizing it, the messages we may be sending back to our folks, our employees, when they have ideas about how to do a better job of taking care of customers, or if they just demonstrate something that works, that we might not intentionally, but we might accidentally be giving signals
Absolutely.
That would squish those things.
Absolutely, because whenever we have a judgment about something that someone else does, we're offering a very strong opinion. And, of course, when we're the boss, that matters a little bit more than if we weren't. When I was in the corporate world, I used to call in once a quarter. I would call in a creativity consultant to get our juices going and get us, we used to have to do advertising and things like that. We wanted good ideas. And the first time that she came in, she put a variety of different toys and things on the table for us to work with, but she also, everybody got a couple of strips of little red dots, like these little stickers. And the red dots were there because when we did a brainstorming activity, the rules were there was to be no judgments. That means you couldn't say it was good, you couldn't say it was bad, you couldn't say it was any, you know, there were to be no judgments either verbally or non-verbally. Body language, you know, the grimacing or, you know, squeezing your hands or shaking your shoulders. And what would happen is as soon as she said, okay, we're going to brainstorm for 15 minutes, anybody that did demonstrate one of these judgmental behaviors, someone else in the group could get up and put a sticker on them. Now, we started brainstorming, and of course, nobody was putting stickers on anybody because everybody was afraid to do it. And then all of a sudden, I watched my sales manager, a guy that worked for me, he got this look on his face, and it was as if he couldn't stand the pressure anymore. He got up with a red sticker and stuck it on my shoulder. Well, thereafter, it didn't take very long before the rest of my team, all 15 of them, were sticking red dots all over me. And well, because apparently every time I opened my mouth, it was with a judgment. I would say that, you know, and even if I didn't open my mouth, I've got one of those faces that you never want to see at a poker game because I cannot contain my expression.
I know your face.
So, but it really taught me a valuable lesson that people are not only listening to what you say, but they're watching what you do. They're watching your facial expression. So if someone comes to you with an idea and you make the face that goes with, you know, that kind of, you know, your mouth is half up and half down. You squint your eyes. You slump your shoulders over. You look frightened because you know it's going to cost too much money. I think as small business owners, and I know I do it with my folks. We're watching the budget so tightly quick to say, instead of saying, "What a wonderful, fabulous, incredible idea! Let's figure out how to do it."
Or the idea comes to us at a time when we haven't made time available for that kind of brainstorming, that kind of creative process. And so somebody comes to us with an idea, and it's at the moment when we're trying to make payroll or we're dealing with it with some kind of a challenge. And so we haven't created the venue where these ideas can get out and can be nurtured.
Your point is so right. We have to structure playtime. We have to structure time for creativity. We have to take and say, you know, Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, we're going to take 45 minutes and we're going to brainstorm. Or we're going to, once a month, we're going to get everybody together around the table and order a pizza.
There's nothing that anybody says is can be out of line. There's nothing, you know, whatever you want to say, you say we're going to be creative.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, this what I've been learning is that there's different kinds of thinking. There's mm-hmm. divergent thinking and there's convergent thinking.
And there's guy thinking and girl thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There is that, too, isn't there? That's another story, though, isn't it?
That's a story for a different day.
We'll have to do that another time. Give us the website again, Joanna.
That's customercarecoach.com, Jim.
There you go. Thanks, Joanna, for being here. Good
job
today.
Thank you, Jim.
Joanna Brandy, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. She is the best. I hope you'll check out her website and check out that Customer Care Coach program that she's got. 29 after. I'll be right back with Michael Barrera. He's our good friend with the SBA. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.